You're listening to the Sea Plan Do Show
with Gary O'Neill.
All right, here you go. And keep the chain. Checking this out. Welcome to the Sea Plan Do Show with me, professional life and business coach Gary O'Neill Jr. As always, shout out to Pops, and please don't forget the Jr. I have a lovely, amazing, dope person in the building today.
Hey, y'all.
What's up? I have Dr. Huff, which is somebody that I have been associated with and followed and checked out all the things, the wonderful things that you're saying. How are you today, Doc?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
Good.
Thanks for inviting me on the show.
Oh, I definitely had to get you on the show. So I am looking forward to our conversation today. Episode 22, Restoring the Black Family. That's going to be a really, really good. And I thought, who else should I have but you? Because you've been speaking about that a lot on social media. So I thought, of course, I need to have the best person on there.
Appreciate that.
All right. So shout out to everybody watching this right now on Facebook. If you're watching this as we stream live from YouTube, or if you're listening to this on the replay, hey, man, shout out to you. Hopefully everybody had an amazing Tuesday. We are in the earliest parts of July. And so, yeah. I have been having a good time, and so let's get right to our Sea Plan Do moment of the week, and that is sponsored by Heart Savers Maryland. Guess what, guys? We are back. We are back for business. So if you are looking to get certified in CPR through American Heart Association or any one of the other certifications, please, our doors are back open. And we are ready to serve you. If you're looking to get CPR, please contact Heart Savers Maryland, heartsaversmd@gmail.com, or check them out on all social media platforms. Get your CPR certification today. CPR saves lives, and you can too. All right, our Sea Plan Do moment of the week. I like to call this, since we're almost toward the end of this season, I want to go back and talk about Man in the Arena. And so if for those who have followed this show, one of the things I love to talk about is Man in the Arena. And that is an amazing speech given by Teddy Roosevelt. And to paraphrase, because that's your homework today, is look up that speech. And he talks about you, and he talks about putting in the work and not worrying about the haters and not worrying about the critics not worrying about the people that think they could do it better, or they would have said they would have done it better. It is about you putting in the work. And so right now, as we're going through more of a reset, I want you to look at moving forward. What is our new normal going to be? And what are you going to do differently? Because guess what? You are in the arena. All right. That is your Sea Plan Do moment of the week entitled Man in the Arena Remix, sponsored by Heart Savers Maryland. All right, Doc, are you ready for today? Are you ready for our show today?
I'm ready. I'm a little nervous, but I'm ready.
What is you? Why are you worried? You don't have to be worried or nervous. It's only me. And, you know, this is the best show out here on the planet. And so let's get right into our seed plant, our song of the week. All right. Really, Doc, what is your favorite song? What do you vibe? What is on repeat right now for you?
What's on repeat right now for me?
What's on repeat right now for you?
What is the name of the song?
Wow. Just.
I'm sorry. I had to think about it.
As she thinks about it, we're going to keep it moving. So here is the show song of the week entitled Blinding Lights by the Weeknd. Thanks.
Sorry. I was thinking because it's an old song.
Was it? Song of the week by the Weeknd. It's called Blinding Lights. I really like that song. All right.
I never heard it before. That's my first time hearing it.
Never heard of that hit song. Got it. It's okay. I got you.
Sorry.
All right. So episode 22. Wow. We got one more episode until the end of the season. And then I'm going to take probably about 2 weeks off to reload, refocus, re-energize. And bam. Be right back like we never left. Yeah. All right. So we don't have an appetizer for this week. All right. But as always, we have an amazing entree today. I'm talking with Dr. Huff as we go over restoring the Black family. So, Doc, can we get right into the official bio as we always do on this show? Can I read your official bio?
Sure.
All right. So, Dr. Shawnee Huff is a self-proclaimed doctor of life and the host of the podcast
No, but seriously.
Dr. Huff.
Woo!
Welcome to the show. How are you doing today? You been doing good?
Doing well.
Yeah.
And I have the song.
It's called
Don't Look Any Further by Dennis Edwards, I believe it is.
Okay. Are you sure? Because it seemed like you looked it up, and now it sounds like you're not sure of the song.
Listen, I'm sure, but I...
You're literally looking at it right now. Is that the name of the song?
By Dennis Edwards, Don't Look Any Further. Yes.
Okay. All right,
I'm sure you heard it. It was an old song.
Nope, never heard it. Never.
Okay. Got it.
But I'm going to listen to it tonight.
Okay.
All right. So, as always, with all of my amazing guests that come on the show, I like to play a little round of questions entitled Fuego Rapido. All right. Are you ready for these?
I think so.
Are you ready?
I think so.
All right. Since it's summertime, I'm going to give one off top. And what is your favorite snowball?
Egg custard and watermelon.
Mixed? Or just that's... I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to try that.
A little bit of marshmallow on the top.
Yes. But see, you also got to get marshmallow at the bottom.
sometimes it get hard when it's too cold. Not hard, but I like it's just a certain mix when they do that top part and put the marshmallow in the middle. And they sometimes it'll drizzle down to the bottom, and that's enough for me.
That's enough for you? Okay. All right. So we got that one out the way. It's good to know. Egg custard watermelon mix, right?
Yes.
All right. Here's your second question. It says, if you had someone following you around all the time, what would you have them do?
I have somebody who follow me around all the time. I would say, I don't know. That's a good one.
What would you have them do?
Take notes.
Okay. So you have them take notes. All right, cool. All right. If I had someone following me around, they would just periodically give me healthy snacks. And make sure I drain enough water. Because my lifestyle coach, Candace Downs, is watching. So I want to make sure I say that they will follow me around, make sure I drink all my water for the day, and had healthy snacks. That's what they would do. All right, good one. All right, are you ready for the next one?
I'm ready.
What technology do you wish existed?
What technology? I wish that I could get in the car and go to sleep and my car could drive, switch lanes, take me wherever I want to go.
Okay. So a self-driving car.
Yes.
Okay. I think there are some out now, but that's what you want. Okay.
So that you mean to tell me there's a car right now that you can go to sleep and put in your destination and it can take you wherever you want to go. It switches lanes and everything.
It's some, but you're going to have to look them up because we don't shout out companies on the show. Unless they give me one, then I won't even have my, and just look at, check out this amazing shirt. Black Fathers Matter.
Because they do.
They do. Thank you. Right? But if they had one, and if they gave me one, I would have that on my shirt right now. It'd be a promo.
I feel that.
Yeah. All right. But that's what you want. A car that is able to drive. You can just go to sleep in the car.
Yes.
Lanes, all that.
All of that. The whole nine.
I like that one. Keslin, I think it's Keslin, says, I wish my hair could be done like that on the Jetsons. Oh, yeah. Remember how they had the big thing?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Or the little conveyor belt that they had where they could just get dressed and the robot hands would wash them up something. I like that.
I think that's coming to a town near. It's coming to a town near us soon.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, I like this one. What is something you like that most people don't?
Something that I like that most people don't. Unpopular opinions.
Okay. All right. What's an unpopular opinion you have right now?
Chicken isn't all it's cracked up to be.
I was expecting you to, obviously, when you preface it by saying that you like unpopular opinions, I should have prepared myself that you were going to say something that wasn't popular. I was not prepared for that.
You wasn't prepared for that.
I wasn't prepared for that. What is your favorite food then?
My favorite food would have to be salmon.
Okay. But chicken, not all it's cracked up to be.
Not all it's cracked up to be.
All right. Everyone has their opinion, so we'll go for that. All right.
You ain't say what yours was, though.
Huh?
You ain't answer the question.
What? Wait, let me go back. Let me look. Because you threw me off with your not liking chicken. All right. What is something that you like that most people don't? What do I like? I like candy corn. Some people don't like candy corn.
Trash. Absolutely.
I don't think we're on your show. I think we're on my show. I had to edit this whole section off because you thought you was gonna just talk me. We don't slander the good name.
Sorry, I apologize.
Matter of fact, I'm gonna send you a bag just for you.
Oh,
just send you a bag.
I know somebody to give it to.
Oh, okay. All right, last one, and then we're gonna move on. What's your reoccurring nightmare? Wow.
I just think I conquered it, but I keep having a dream of like driving off of a bridge into the water in the car and can't get out.
So crashing in there. Okay, got it.
Like the, you know, the bridge and then go into the ocean and I'm in the car. It's like a nightmare. I'm just getting over bridges. I used to freeze up when I get on a bridge.
Okay. All right, what recurring nightmare do I have? I actually don't have one. If I was to think about my last nightmare I had, I think I was getting chased by like some zombies or something.
Okay.
That was it. All right. So thank you for playing Fuego Rapido.
See? Thank you.
Your mic almost got muted. All right, as people on the show already know, okay? But, all right, so that was pretty good. You did pretty good. So let's jump right into our entree. Usually we might have a little appetizer, but I felt like this was a really, really good question to put out there, especially to you. I think I inboxed you and just asked you, hey, what would you do? And I initially had a whole nother show that I was going to do, but I thought that we had such a good discussion that, of course, I thought that we should talk about it now, right?
Yes, you did. All
right, so we're talking about the Black family, all right? Because currently right now we're mainly focusing on what's going on with us, what's happening. And so a lot of it is going to be surrounded by what's happening externally, meaning the police or whatever's happening, and internally what's happening with our family situations. Mm-hmm. All right, so when we're talking about here, episode 22, Restore the Black Family, I thought about this. So let's just get right into it. My first question to you is, what do you think, or where do you think the state of the Black family is right now? Where do you think we are?
So right now, I think we're in a place where we're kind of waking up. I think we're tired. Mm-hmm. Of a lot of the narratives that's being pushed. I think we're tired of just the same old malarkey.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the families now are just like, you know what, we got to kind of do this thing. We got to do it together. Black people see that we got to protect each other, and we kind of see where we are and how if we don't make change, we in trouble.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I agree with you that we are getting there, but we have a lot more work to do.
Absolutely.
And that work is our work to bear, not anybody else's.
I agree.
So I agree with you on that. Okay, so, and I know that, you know, it's not going to be a lot of questions today, but, you know, it's going to be deep. So clearly we've seen a lot of brokenness in families.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that there are a lot of issues. What do you think are the factors? Because so many people have so many different factors. But what do you think are the major factors to you that is actually hurting the Black family?
The strong, independent Black woman is one.
Okay. We're going to have to talk about that. All right. Go ahead.
Absolutely. The afraid man, I would say. Being tired,
mm-hmm.
not having enough opportunities. I think it's really big that our men need their own opportunities, not just getting a job, but I mean really being able to be the breadwinners, being entrepreneurs so that they can empower the community and hire other Black folk. Having our own medical facilities is something that I think we definitely have to figure out, because I think women are really experiencing a lot of trauma when it comes to childbirth and mm-hmm. bearing children and just things that kind of happen in that setting. And I would say us not really trusting each other.
Okay.
And I think that's really hurting us as well.
Yeah. So Letitia says we have to do so much deprogramming. I agree that it's a lot that we've learned. A lot has been
agreed. Agreed.
I agree with that. All right. So let's talk about some of the factors you felt were an issue. Mm-hmm. And you started off with, I would assume, is an unpopular opinion, which was a strong Black woman. So please explain, Doctor, why do you feel the strong Black woman is a factor to us, to our damaged family structures?
So I want to make sure before, because I know people are going, like you said, it's unpopular opinion. The strong, independent Black woman.
Okay.
Is the one I said specifically. And the reason why I said that is because, so I did some research on femininity and womanhood in the Black community. And one thing that I found is the strong, independent Black woman is the woman who thinks she can do everything on her own, no help. I mean, just has it all together. And what I also found was that they're actually tired. They're tired. They're overwhelmed. Some of them are scared, and they're just really getting restless. And what's happening is sometimes when you are this strong, independent Black woman, you put this notion out in the world that I don't need help. I don't need anybody. I got it. I can do it. And it's kind of destroying our community. Not kind of, but it is, because you have to teach other people, like in your household, your children, that everything isn't just for the woman. The woman can't do it all on her own. Everybody, I believe in gender roles. I believe men are here to protect and provide. And I believe women, we are nurturers. We also do protection in a different magnitude, not just going to work and coming home and paying the bills. And that's what's happening. Black women are doing too many things, and I believe it's killing us. And I really believe that we need to look more of ourselves as vulnerable women of strength, that it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to cry. It's okay to do those things. We don't have to be hard and gangster all the time, because it's not needed. We need somebody to step in and just pick us up when we're down. And I think that's really affecting us a lot. And our men don't know because of that. They're learning from their mothers that the woman does it all and they don't have a place.
Mm. Wow. I definitely, when you first said strong, independent Black woman, I was like, oh boy. So I get it. I do understand. I think that, you know, we all should be independent, but not to the fact, not to a place where we're just saying, hey, we don't need anybody. And so I agree with you on that. I definitely see your points with that. All right. The next bullet you had was men.
Yeah.
All right. So you said that men and their lack of being able to get, I guess, financial stability is a problem. So go ahead, explain.
Yeah. So it's the is the afraid man. So
the afraid man, yeah.
One of the biggest things I think that we have is that I've learned. So a lot of times when people don't know what to do, they do nothing, right?
Right.
So I think what's happening in our community is a lot of our men don't know what to do, so they're just not doing anything. I had a coworker who used to always say, if you go into a community and you see a lot of men standing around doing nothing, it's a failed community. And a lot of times our men, you know, especially young men, I would say, are standing outside, you know, maybe not right now during quarantine, but they're outside and they don't have anything to do. They're not building anything. They're not doing anything. Now don't get me wrong. Statistically, when you think about children, Black men actually are more involved in the daily activities of their children than any other race. So it's not really that our men are not involved, but I think that the opportunities that they need to be able to support the family is not really there. And some of those opportunities aren't being created. We can't look to other races to be our financial crutch. We have to do that on our own. And the reason why the Black woman is, you know, doing it by herself is because we have been let down a lot. So we're afraid to kind of give the man that space to do. And because he won't say, baby, I don't know what I'm doing, or he doesn't have a certain outlet where he can go and say, listen, you know, I got some men around me who can teach me, because sometimes it's ego, you know, they don't want to say, I don't know what I'm doing. But that's the only way you can learn, is if you can say, I don't know what I'm doing and I need assistance. And we need a strong foundation for that, because women tired. They really do want that man to stand up and be able to do something so that they can step into their rightful place as women, and men can step into their rightful place as men.
All right. I recently was involved in a group discussion. Mm-hmm. And one of the topics was that Black men are not protecting Black women. How do you feel about that?
I agree. I think that... And this is, again, unpopular opinion. I don't think that men necessarily know how to protect the Black woman. I don't think, because the question is coming up, and I'm hearing a lot of men saying, well, how should we protect you?
Right.
You know, and then it's this notion, like I said, when I did my research, that Black women are angry and bitter and attitudes, and they can do it by themselves, and they this and they that. And it's not that we want it. Even when I say the strong, independent Black woman, we didn't necessarily want that title. It was given to us, and we had to step into it because it had to get done. So I think men aren't really taught what it looks like to protect. They aren't taught what it looks like to be able to take care of their household, or what it looks like to just be a man. I just don't think that it's there. And then, you know, the aspect of femininity in women, a lot of us don't know what that looks like and how powerful it is, you know. So now we have this situation where we don't know what our role is. So they don't know how to protect. They haven't been taught it. And that's not in all cases, but I think it's running rampant in our community.
I agree. Yeah. And you can see how it just leaves damaging scenarios. So Keeslin, I hope I'm getting her name right. Keeslin says, how do we deal with afraid men as women? So if you came across an afraid man, what do you typically do?
I am a avid reader, I like to say.
Okay.
So one of the things I think we have to do, especially women, men too, but we need to read more. So one of the books I'm reading is The Conspiracy to Destroy the Black Woman.
Okay.
And it's a small little book by Michael Porter. If you ever get a chance, check them out, because it's really good. And we need to get that type of information, because if a woman empowers herself and she reads and she understands and she comprehends, she's going to pass the information down. And it's going to be for the betterment of the whole community, right? You empower a woman, you save a woman, you save the community. And if you save the Black woman, you save everybody. That's not just Black folk, that's everybody. Right.
That is, I agree with that.
So if you want to deal with a or I guess the question was to help a afraid Black man, if you run across him.
The question was how do you deal with them?
Okay. So you're gonna have to identify them, and you only can identify it from the knowledge that you gain, and give them space enough to be able to say that they are afraid, and try to find resources for them, or lead them in a direction where they can find them for themselves. That's the best way to do it, because I think it's this notion too that Black women, we got to save everybody. We got to save the man and all of that. It's only but so much we can do. You know, it's rites of passage that needs to happen, and we have to kind of let them do that. But you want to be able to identify it, so that you can get it away from you in a sense where they can get what they need without you taking all your energy to assist them.
Okay. So you become mayor, you become president. What systems would you put in place to be able to restore? Right. So you're saying we have afraid Black men. We have overly aggressive, independent Black women. And what I mean by aggressive is that if you're saying, you could be assertive and say, hey, I'm doing these things, but if you turn around and say, well, I don't need you for anything,
yes,
you know, that causes problems. All right. Yeah. And give us, you know, so you listed all the other ones. So as you think about your list, what is another big one that you're like, yeah, this is another issue?
we don't give each other grace. We don't give each other enough love. I think that's the biggest thing, because we have to understand that we have endured a lot, you know. So even when we think about Black-owned businesses, because it really just bothers me, this notion about how I see Black folk posting stuff about customer service and Black folk and businesses and all of that. And that's not to say that customer service isn't important, but a lot of these other businesses we go to don't treat us no better, but you don't see them posting that type of stuff. So yeah. I just think when we are dealing with each other, we have to learn how to love each other. Like, you know, just so show some grace. And I'm not saying a lot of people let us get away with it, still hold us accountable for our actions and when we do things wrong, but just love each other a little bit more, you know, just show some more grace, man. I feel like that is just a really, really big thing. And I know sometimes I struggle with it because, you know, in your everyday life, sometimes you just get tired of the BS, but we've endured a lot for a long time, you know, mental stress, you know, trauma. I mean, just all of these things. We just really have to love on each other a little bit more.
Yeah.
We really do.
To be transparent, I've been told that at times I've not offered people grace. But like you said, I think it's a line between offer somebody grace and someone trying to use it as a doormat.
Absolutely.
So, but I agree that in our culture, we're so quick to be able to go to 10 as opposed to saying, you know what, let me understand, let me communicate with you, let me talk with you. But as you see, we're just straight willing to go to the extreme on whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, and just toss away relationships like that. Okay. Yeah. All right. So you become mayor or governor, or, you know, let's just go with our city. What is two things that you would do to support the family? Of course, we're talking about Black families. But what is two things that you would do that you feel like maybe the government can assist? What do you think we should do?
So I believe if you want to help the Black family.
Yeah.
Becoming a mayor is not what it should be. I don't think you should be in politics. That's unpopular opinion, because I feel like once you start to get into certain arenas,
mm-hmm.
you gotta play the game. And the reality is poverty pimping makes money. So, and that's not to say that I'm not, please don't take this the wrong way. I'm not saying that all Black folk are in poverty, because that's a lie. However, I will say that certain things are set in place to keep other things in place.
Oh, yeah.
So if you truly want to, for me, if I was to get in a position and it's something that I'm working on, you have to lead, right? So you have to master yourself first and then help. The reason why we have a lot of coons in the Black community is because we haven't mastered ourselves and our demons. So you have to do that work first on yourself. Constantly know your strengths, know your weaknesses, know what you can and can't do, and then you help build community. Don't go out thinking that you're going to save Black people. You got to save yourself first, and then mm-hmm. work on the community. And then you need to find money and opportunities where our people can have our own. You know, I just think that's really important, and have it where it can build wealth. And it can go on and on for generations. So I would say not be the mayor, because if you're going to be in politics, you're going to have to speak rhetoric. I mean,
so pretty much what you're saying is that even if you became in charge, or if you were offered the opportunity to get into politics, that we shouldn't be looking for our politicians to be able to help us in our families.
No, I think they have good intentions, but after a while, you join the circus. You know how it go. Got to be a part of that.
I get that. Okay, so we're tossing politics to the side. All right. So what steps? Let's lay out some steps. The first step you already said is master yourself, right? Yes. So we're talking about mastering ourselves. What does that look like? How should we master ourselves?
Be authentic. Be honest. I can say for me, one of the things that I've learned is I am a recovering strong, independent Black woman, right? It was a hard notion for me to say, I don't know how to take help. I felt like if I took help, I was weak. I was taught to do it on my own. I had to get it done by any means necessary. I had to get it done. You know, I was doing it all. I got it all. I got it together. You know, I didn't say sometimes I cried at night or that I needed a hug or, you know, that I just was tired. I didn't. And sometimes I just didn't know what I was doing. And I had to say, I don't know what I'm doing. And I got to seek support, you know, and I still struggle with that. And, you know, being authentic isn't one way. That's what we forget. You know, like if you ever get you some genuine leather, right? And you go to a handmade place to get you a bag. I don't know, you get some shoes. Each thing isn't going to be the same. If one person make it, it won't be made the same every time. So in order to be authentic, you have to understand that you're not going to be the same way all the time. You just want to try to be better every day, every day. Just try to be better every day. And some days won't be good, and that's okay. So you have to be able to do that. And then also, when you find your weaknesses, you have to build a team. That's something else that I struggle with. Because I was doing everything on my own. I didn't know how to build a team. And you got to find people who can fill in those gaps for you. Because you can't do it all on your own. So as a people, everybody got a skill set. You find places where people have a passion for those things. And you let them build upon. And don't be a micromanager. If you want to build something, you got to let people do it the way they need to do it. You give them whatever tools they need, and they build from there. And if they don't do what they say they're going to do, then you get rid of them. Got to be okay with letting things go. Got to be okay with putting people aside. Because if you're not on a mission, on a purpose, you got to go. And maybe when you get yourself together, you can come back. But it goes and back I already said, Grace, I'm sorry.
And so it always, but again, as you said, it goes back to you keeping it real and being authentic with yourself first and taking care of yourself first. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So Keesley says, do you think the Black community has over-sexualized women to the point that men look for sex and not building families?
Do I think society has done that?
Or she says, do you think the Black community has over-sexualized women to the point that men look for sex and not building families?
So I think society has over-sexualized Black women, the Black woman, and I think we have followed suit behind that. I think, like, one of the things for me, I breastfeed. So I have an 8-month-old. He'll be 9 months soon. And I breastfeed. And I'm one, I whip out in public, right? I do that. And I find that it makes people uncomfortable. Sometimes it do, sometimes it don't. And I understand that men can get uncomfortable, I guess, because they seeing this booby right there. But the reality is, this milk that I have was made specifically for my child.
Yep.
And we need to teach people that a bottle is nothing but the imitation of a breast. It has a nipple on it. But we don't want to talk about that. We separating it. And we've allowed it to happen. So the reason why Black men, I think, look for sex, even while we even over-sexualize ourselves, is because we've been taught that that's all some of us have been taught. And I'm thinking in the grand scheme of things, that that's all we're worth. If you look at TV, you know, even like Meg Thee Stallion. When you listen to her music, I used to listen to Lil' Kim. I used to know all the words of Lil' Kim. Now I'm older, you know, I know a thing or two. Her whole album was about sex. The whole album was about sex. Meg Thee Stallion songs is about sex. So you playing that narrative over and over and over again, you're going to have women thinking that's all they are, and you're going to have men thinking that's all they can get from a woman. You're not understanding how important sexual energy is. So women have to decide what it is that we want and move from there, because everything a man do is for a woman. So if we don't allow them to do certain things or have us in that manner, then they're going to have to step up. So it's really going to be us deciding what we need to do. No nation is higher than this woman.
I agree. I like that. I really, and I knew that you were going to fire that question up. So the first step is going to be to master yourself. Now, on the show that I was on previously, it was just men, right? And it was talking about how, you know, we could protect women. And one of the comments was that, hey, probably should have had women on the show, or maybe the next one should have women on the show. So I'm asking you, as a black woman, what does protection look like to you? Because we have this narrative of black men don't protect black women. And of course, in some instances it's true, right? A lot of instances it's not. But what specifically from a black woman do you look for when you think of the idea of support? What does that look like?
And we mean men in general, not like in the relationship, right?
Just men in general. Yeah, it doesn't have to be, you know, you can add that, but it doesn't have to be exclusive to that.
Okay. One of the biggest things is going to be, like I said before, men, I said, when you don't know what to do, you do nothing. Men right. being able to say they don't know what they're doing.
So
that is a part of protection. So that they can get the support they need and the knowledge they need to do what they need to do.
Okay.
Fathers are greatly needed in our children's lives. Like, and when you build that support and that protection in your children young, it is just phenomenal. Like, if you see a child who's had a father who's been present in their lives, and that's a boy or girl, and you see them grow up, it's a difference in them. It's a difference. It's a level of confidence that's just there. That is a part of protecting the black woman, not allowing her to do it on her own. And also, the protection looks like holding her accountable and letting her know when she's wrong. They have to say that you can't tell black women anything. But if you are a man who's about his stuff and does what he's supposed to do, women will listen. I promise you. That part is needed for us to feel protected. For you to say what you're going to do and get it done is important. And just being an authentic man and learning what it is to be a man. Men need to step up. Stop letting everything fly, man. I mean, it used to be a time when certain things that men did, you just couldn't do. And if you did, somebody said something to you. Now, man, men out here wearing potty books and rompers. No, that's not masculine. It's not what men should be doing. And I'm not competing with you and what you got on and nails and all of that. No, it's not. It's not what we need. It's not. And that's what we need. We need our men to step up in their rightful place and say, I got it. I got it. I got you, and mean it and do it.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest narrative I keep hearing from a lot of my friends that are women. Yeah, they say that. Jermaine, hey, Jermaine. Look, you on the show too. What's up?
And men need to have their own spaces. I want to say this to women, if you're listening. We don't need to be involved in everything. Men need their own spaces for them. We don't need to be in there. When y'all having y'all meetings, have y'all meetings. When y'all ready to include us, but have a space where men can be free and they can be open and talk about it in a space that's for them. What I learned when I did some research on masculinity and manhood. And sometimes men can be competitive, especially when there's a woman around, if they attracted to the woman and stuff like that. They need a space where as men, you can talk, you can say what you're afraid of, and you can have somebody who can lead you in the right direction. That also is going to help with the protecting of black women, because they have to have a space that's for them and for them only.
Oh, yeah. And Jermaine chimed in and said, I think men need to start checking other men when he isn't doing right by women.
Yes.
You're right. But I also will say I 100% agree with that. And I also realize that it's been instances where I know I haven't checked somebody. It may not have been something drastic, but something that probably needed to be addressed. And you look to wait for the opportunity because maybe that person brings it up and they don't. And you're like, oh, man. But you're absolutely right with that as far as being able to hold somebody that you know accountable. As opposed to, you know, just saying, hey, I'm minding my own business.
Yes.
So you're saying that, hey, we need to be able to have grace, be able to be more loving. All right. We need to have more space as far as men being vulnerable.
Yes.
Being vulnerable to women and saying, hey, I may not know everything, and being of action. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Anything else that we can do as far as men and women to be able to restore the family?
Um, learn effective communication.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really important. We're doing a lot of talking, but maybe not a lot of comprehending, not really being able to get the point across. I think communication isn't really taught, you know?
Yeah.
And we also need to do more listening, get our listening skills together, because a lot of times women don't hear men and men don't hear women. And get some emotional IQ, because I think that's important. Sometimes you have to take your emotions out of it, and that's a hard thing.
Yeah.
But master those emotions so that you can kind of get some work done. Stop pussyfooting around, you know?
Yeah.
Really just being honest, like, you know, I messed up. And I just want to move forward from here and letting things go. I think that would be really, really important, because and learning to agree to disagree.
Yeah.
That's a really important communication skill, because we may not agree all the time. I might try to get my point across. You try to get your point across. But at some point, we got to be like, you know what? We're going to stop right here and we're going to go ahead and do something else, because this right here is wasting time.
Yeah.
It's wasting time.
And I agree. And I just. Our families are being torn apart, and society often can contribute to that and help to it and say, hey, you know what? You know, a woman can break, you know, for a woman to receive government assistance, a man can't be around. Yes. And so, you know, it's too many able-bodied men that I see on the corner. And I agree with you that we definitely need to be able to empower ourselves, which is why it's very important that even this week, which is Blackout Week, where we're focusing on our black dollars and we're making sure that we are focusing on the black owned business, you know, that we just get back to empowering ourselves, our communities, because at times I feel like we look for other people, places and things to do it.
I agree.
Yeah. And of course, obviously we know it's needed right now. All right. So what is something, as we wrap this up, we're here for a good time, not a long time. But what is something that you want to leave with the listeners? You've been doing this for a while. Obviously, you speak about, you know, black men, black women, black families, black communities. What is something that you want to leave with the listener today?
One of the things I want to leave is you can self-proclaim yourself to be who you want to be, right? And when you do that, you step into that the best way you know how and continue to grow. The other thing I would say is, as black folk, we got to stop looking for role models, right? And when I say role models, I mean, typically, if somebody is playing a role, they're acting, right? And we have to be okay with leaders making mistakes, long as they own up to those mistakes and that they are not perfect. And I think what happens with us in our community, as soon as you see them doing something wrong, it's like, oh, no, we can't trust them. But understand that they're still human, you know, and they have to be OK with their mistake, and they have to, you know, make change or make do or make progress or whatever it is they need to do. But we're not here to judge them from that perspective, but we have to hold them accountable. Now, they should live in a certain way, but they're still human. And I think that will allow more leaders to step up, because they can be real. They don't have to play and make it seem like everything they say is right and they live this holier than thou life and that they don't mess up, because I think that that's not being authentic. And we have to learn what being authentic is. And, you know, as long as every day they are doing better, and as long as you're doing better every day and you are setting the stage and the foundation for your family, because that's what communities is. It's just a set of smaller families build up a community. So we just have to be okay with that and know that you're going to mess up. We all trying to figure it out, and just give yourself some grace.
Yeah, I agree. I think that that's probably one of the biggest things, unfortunately, because we don't trust, and we see that that's prevalent. Even when we're talking about black-owned businesses, is that you're right.
Yeah.
We don't carry the other big companies or non-black companies the same way we carry a black company. But then I have to let people know, even yesterday during my customer service for the culture discussion, we have to overcome that. We do. But also, it goes back to the, you know, even the Black consumer giving grace and saying, hey, you know what? If something happened, now we're not immediately going to, you know, social media and saying this is going to support Black business. Yes. And that equally means the same thing for, you know, if we have an issue, we need to be able to resolve it, squash it, get back to loving each other. Because I feel like that's the biggest thing that we're seeing a lot more people doing it, but the love isn't as prevalent and flowing as we need it to be.
I agree.
Oh, thank you. Well, I thank you for that. How, Dr. Huff, how can people connect with you? How can they get in contact with you? How can they see what's up with you? How can, give us your contact info, please.
Well, I do a podcast on Mondays from 6:30 to 7:30. It's called No, But Seriously on Dr. Huff at, that's on IG. And also 1500 Radio, which is a Black-owned business. They have like an online radio. So that's on Mondays. And on Facebook, my name is Shawnee Huff. So you can reach me there. And that's my information.
Okay. So, guys, please make sure you connect with her. She has a lot of fire information that I really, really appreciate. I'm trying to figure out why she hasn't had this Black man on the show. Huh.
Well, listen, we talked about this, right? I'm definitely going to get you on the show.
I thought we were talking about action. Seemed like I've known you for a long time.
I'm trying to find a good show for you.
Any show would be a good show. Just like I'm good on any Martin Luther, on any station. All right, okay.
I like it.
Thank you, Phil.
Just talked about.
You're right. But I'm gonna show grace because you haven't had me on the show. So I'm gonna chill. Okay. I'm gonna squash it. It's wasting time.
Okay. All right, guys.
That is the end of our show today. Again, please make sure you connect with Dr. Huff. She is absolutely dope and amazing. Been the same way since I met her, and that is absolutely great. All right, guys. You can always check out each and every episode here at 7 p.m. here, right here, streaming live on Facebook, on YouTube, as well as all the major streaming platforms like Spotify, Tidal, Pandora. Listen, I'm out here, okay? If you are looking to promote your goods or services or you want to be on the show, most certainly make sure that you connect with me. So that way, you can hit me up for all those sponsorship opportunities. All right. But certainly not least, guess what, guys? Thank you. Thank you for being part of the show. Thank you for listening. You are the best part of the show. Dr. Huff, my sister, I definitely appreciate you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Guys, guess what? Next week, another show. The season ending finale. The season finale.
Woo!
I know, right? The season finale, but guess what? It's always going to be jam-packed with the vibes. All right, until we see each other again, until we talk again, until we share those special memories again, always remember, guys, to see, plan, and do. Please stay out of the way. Please stay safe. Please stay connected. Tell three people in your family that you love them. Let's reconnect those Black families. All right, Dr. Huff, enjoy. All right. Just like everybody else, enjoy your evening. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thanks for having me. Be safe.